A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
We're reviewing the week in news on Money FM 89.3. And for that, I'd like to welcome renowned producer, presenter at BFM in Malaysia, Frieda Liu. Welcome to Weekend Mornings. And of course, we've listened to you for a long time across the causeway, and I used to live in Malaysia. So it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. But lots of news happening. And just overnight, we saw a breakthrough, we think, regarding the climate change agreement in Poland. Negotiators in Poland have finally secured the agreement on a range of measures that will make the Paris Climate Pact operational in 2020. Last-minute rows over carbon markets threatened to derail the meeting, but it lasted over a day and they finally got it over the line. So how significant do you think this is for this Paris Accord?
Well, okay, the interesting thing is, there's the US again, who pulled out from this a couple of years ago. I think there's still a long way to go. And America being the second largest producer of this carbon gas emissions, their involvement in there would be crucial, but we'll see. And it's still a lot of work to be done because they still haven't worked out all the final kinks. But it's good that we've got a lot of countries. I think we've got about 200 countries involved.
So it's, isn't it amazing how that's so polarized? This is, we have the US and Donald Trump saying that maybe climate change is a hoax and it's not such a big problem and it's very cold in Thanksgiving, therefore the earth isn't heating up. But we have other people that are presenting very alarming kind of scenarios about the world will almost disintegrate within 12 years. So it is hard to know where to look and what to believe, isn't it?
I'm looking at The Independent here, and it says the environmental groups criticize morally unacceptable climate deal reached after major Poland summit. So it's morally unacceptable. Mm. So, we've seen what's happened around the world, and to not think that that is not true, right?
Yes.
It's a bit hard to fathom, right?
Mm.
So this is going to be a set of rules for, we'll see how this will come out in the next couple of years. So we've got 200 countries backing this. So hopefully that will get the US government involved as well.
Yeah. And look, it seems like we're always talking about the US because it's so dramatic, developments there with Donald Trump being in the White House. And we saw how Obamacare now, there's been a major development with that. And of course, President Trump was celebrating because a federal judge in the U.S. state of Texas ruled that a key part of the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, is unconstitutional. 20 states argued that a whole law was invalidated by a change in tax rules last year, which eliminated a penalty for not having health insurance. He called it a big, big victory. But I mean, my concern here is, Frieda, that what's going to happen to those people who need health insurance who are poor?
Right. Yeah. And this is Ken from Fox News. And this is Obama saying, still getting people registered. This doesn't change everything. And we were talking a lot about Trump, isn't it? Morning of Trump.
Yeah.
Barrack took to social media on Saturday to urge people to sign up for health care on the final day of Affordable Care Act. And he says that this doesn't change anything. And he reminded people to just, play down the significance of the ruling.
Yeah, of course they are appealing it, aren't they, through the US Supreme Court. They're going to have to get that approved.
I'm going to quote what he said here. You might have heard about a federal court decision, a Republican lawsuit trying to strike down the Affordable Care Act in its entirety. As this decision makes its way through the courts, which will take months if not years, the law remains in place and will likely stay that way. It says change is nothing for now.
Well, that's a good statement to come out with, because a lot of people are concerned, and I've lived in the US and I know how expensive healthcare is, and if you don't have something covering you, and the rich people are fine through their benefits, through their jobs, but it's a lot of the poor people that fall through the net. I guess that was why, former President Obama wanted to set up this Affordable Health Care Act. But it does seem there's still that animosity between Donald Trump and Barack Obama, and it's all about winning for Donald Trump.
Right. Who doesn't he have animosity with?
yeah. I know. I mean, it just goes back and back. And look, I don't know if you heard, but the guy that's coming in as the chief of staff for Donald Trump was actually someone that had criticized him previously and said that he was a bad person. And here he is coming in as the chief of staff, replacing John Kelly. Mm. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening that, you don't even think it can possibly happen. It wouldn't happen in a movie. And then here we are seeing this kind of disarray happening within the White House. What's your take on
it? Well, you know, I come from Malaysia. You know, yes, it sounds like a movie, but, you know, I'm living it.
Yeah.
So this is a very interesting. I was just referring to this article from the New Zealand Herald. Mm. Let me have a look at that. And I'm just trusting that the law system in the U.S. works fairly and all that. So we'll see. I'm just going to quote, read something from here. And it says here that Donald Trump's impeachment fears grow after terrible week. And he says this, he's always confident, overconfident, even whenever he fronts the camera. But in private, Donald Trump's fears he'll be ousted from the top job are growing. Mm. And he says that he has told people close to him in recent days that he's alarmed by the prospect of an impeachment. Mm. And this is according to an NBC News report. You don't see it when you see him on TV. He's full of confidence.
Bluster and all that. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, there's a lot going on because, as Cohen said, that, you know, he did hide Trump's dirty deeds.
Yeah, that was a major development. Of course, Mick Mulvaney is the acting chief of staff. He's going to have to deal with this kind of stuff. But Michael Cohen, you know, being sentenced to 3 years for multiple crimes, including hush money payments implicating U.S. President Donald Trump. And right. Frieda, we saw him being interviewed by ABC News, George Stephanopoulos, and he was saying, yes, I was instructed by Donald Trump to do this.
Right.
And yeah, as you mentioned, there is a very different public persona to probably what's going on behind the scenes and the genuine concern that Donald Trump must have.
Mm. So he's covering a lot of things here. And what more can you say when I'm covering up his dirty deeds? There's nothing. He's not masking anything. He's just saying it out there. And it is lying to Congress about the president's plans to build a tower in Russia, violating campaign finance laws to pay off two women.
Mm. Do you think he'll ever admit that? Do you think he'll ever come clean and say, listen, yes, I did have the affairs? Do you think that will ever happen? Because it just seems overwhelming that he did. There's little doubt that happened. But he's denying. Do you think that ever that he'll come out and come clean and say, listen, yes, I just was embarrassed about it and I didn't want it. Nothing to do with the campaign financing. It was because I was worried about embarrassing my family and my wife.
I don't see it. I don't see, but people can change, but I don't see it right now. You know, that's the thing, right? If he comes from a position of vulnerability, I think people like him a little bit more, right? And to admit that you have weaknesses as opposed to denying.
Yeah.
And people will just, again, you know, don't take it too nicely. I mean, again, coming from Malaysia, I don't know where the money is, right?
Yeah, with Frieda Liu, the renowned broadcaster from BFM in Malaysia with our International News Week in Review. I mean, Robert Mueller's just got started with this inquiry into possible Russian collusion and obstruction of justice. This is only the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg, right? Because we're only hearing about stuff to do with campaign finance violations and other stuff. We're not hearing about obstruction of justice and also collusion, possible collusion. So I think there's a lot more coming. What do you think?
I definitely think so. And he hasn't built a lot of friends.
Mm.
He hasn't developed a lot of allies, right? So, there's a lot of things people do feel like they need to get him in a way. Right, because of like I said, you know, if you don't show that kind of,
there's not a lot of loyalty. I think you're right. I think the Republican Party has used him to, you know, get into power and to get that influence. But they're not. I think they could dump him quickly. What do you think?
I'm not too sure though, because here's the thing, right? You know, leading up to the elections, right? And people were saying, oh no, it's impossible, kind of thing. He must reach out to the grassroots. Mm. He must say something that's right. You know, his plans to make America great again, to give jobs back. So he must be speaking to the masses. Right? Is it just a couple of people? Election, it is a democratic country and they won, right? I mean, that belief, you know, so he must have gotten that message across. He seemed, I guess, to be more in touch with what the grassroots want.
Mm. Yeah, look, he definitely connected with a disenfranchised section of the population.
Right.
And having lived in the US, I know there are people that fall through the cracks. And there was an elite part of the political system.
Yeah.
And of course, the elite people are supposed to be the ones that care about the others, you know, the left-wing people. But in a way, they were very privileged and they had a lot of influence that perhaps, special interest and all that. Mm. But I'm intrigued by how Donald Trump does this gaslighting, you know, how he tries to distract, you know, like it's like when you're saying, listen, your pants are on fire, and he goes, look over there, there's a plane.
He tweets about it.
Yeah, and he's come out with this. He says 19,000 texts between Lisa Page and her lover Peter S. of the FBI, in charge of the Russia hoax, were just reported as being wiped clean and gone. Such a big story that will never be covered by the fake news witch hunt. So why on earth would this be a bigger story than his personal lawyer being jailed for 3 years? And so how, I mean, this is.
Look over there.
Yeah, look over there. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. So does this work, do you think, Frieda? Is this something that's effective or is it just kind of distracting everyone?
It will distract some people. But again, I think people sort of will get tired of it and will come to realize that this is just a ploy for us to, you know, to distract us temporarily. But, you know, people aren't. You can fool some people some of the time, but not all the time. And we'll see.
And someone like Robert Mueller, who's a very diligent prosecutor and he's focused on facts, he's not going to be distracted, is he? Because he just is trying to get stuff across the line as far as, you know, dotting T's and crossing I's or, you know, dotting I's and crossing T's, I think I should say. But yeah, one controversial thing that he did, Donald Trump, which has been followed by Australia, is making Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Scott Morrison, one of our many prime ministers in Australia. We seem to have a different one every month. We've had a massive turnover. Just over the last couple of days, he's announced that Jerusalem is now being recognized as the capital of Israel instead of Tel Aviv.
And so this is Australia, or, you know, always the strongest supporter of the US. I mean, this has been for the longest time, right? I mean, I used to study there years ago and everything. What do you feel about that?
Look, I think it's...